Here, would you care for some gum? Would you care for some, Mr. Buxton?
Oh.
Spearmint or fruit?
Fruit, please.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the Beer Coasters podcast. It's a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I am your host this week. My name is Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me as always is...
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
And this is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And in today's show, we are at episode number 12. We are going to be discussing fruity beers, beers that are infused with some sort of fruit.
Hello. So
it's going to be an interesting show. Our fermentation conversation will be the Dogfish Head raison d'etre, if I'm saying that correctly. It's French. I don't know. And in our tasting flight, Chris, what are you trying today?
This week I will be trying Abita's Purple Haze. It's a raspberry beer.
And what about you, Mike?
I'm going to taste a little Thomas Hooker's Watermelon Ale, which I think used to be called More Than a Mouthful Watermelon Ale.
But it's not anymore.
Watermelon Ale sounds really interesting.
We shall see.
And in the tasting flight today, I will be trying the Raspberry Brown from Lost Coast Brewing Company in Northern California. So, you guys, if you have any, if you don't have anything else to say, we can roll right into that fermentation conversation. Start trying some raison d'etre.
Sweet.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah.
All right, here we are in the fermentation conversation section of the Beer Coasters podcast.
It's a little different
today. We're talking,
and being we're talking in the intro,
we're talking fruity beers today.
Yes, we are,
and we are featuring Dogfish Head's
raison d'etre.
Or however you say it. I think you say it just like that.
Raison d'être.
In the fermentation conversation, we're having
raison d'être.
This is our Cajun episode. I am drinking a Louisiana beer this week.
Y'all come on over, y'all. All right, y'all. Oh, y'all, come on over, y'all.
Let's talk about the beer. Come on now.
Okay, let's talk about the beer. So this is from Dogfish Head. Out of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Rehoboth.
They've been around since... Rehoboth. Yes. Sorry.
It's okay. You're not from the East Coast. It's understandable.
The Delawareans and the French already hate me.
Delawareans.
I think San Francisco already hates us anyways. Yeah. So.
They're not telling us.
They're more than welcome to chime in and say how much they hate us.
Yes, yeah. Please do. We love you, please, San Francisco.
Wonderful people of San Francisco, please chime in. Tell us what your favorite fruity beer is.
Nice.
So Dogfish Head has been around since 1995. Their website is www.dogfish.com. This style of beer, the raison d'etre, is a... what kind of style is it?
It's considered a Belgian strong.
I think.
Belgian strong.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't have that in my notes.
Well, it's got some interesting other pieces in there.
Yeah.
This has an ABV of 8% and 25 IBUs. And the cellaring, you can cellar this at 45 to 50 degrees, and you serve it also at 45 to 50 degrees. So serve it a little cold, is what they say here. You can find these in six packs, on draft, and year-round. I think they're in 15 states now, or is it 25?
I'm not sure.
I think now you can find it.
You can find it.
I think it's 25 at least. This one, the ingredients in this is it's brewed with beet sugar, green raisins, and a Belgian-style yeast. And an interesting note. You guys can go ahead and crack them if you want. I know you're probably chomping at the horse blank.
Done. Enough said.
Done. Oh, it does say green raisins. I thought it said green grapes before, but I guess that would make sense when it's called raisin.
Well, actually, raison d'etre, however you say that, is French for reason or justification for existence.
Nice. I like that.
Very deep.
Pretty much sums up beer. It is our reason for existence.
Yes.
Yeah. Another interesting note is Dogfish Head is the Delaware's first brew pub, and they were featured. If I don't know if anybody saw the Beer Wars movie, but Sam Caglione he's the head brewer there and owner of the company. He was featured in the Beer Wars movie. They did a whole huge part with him in it, which was pretty cool. Their flagship beers are probably the 60 and the 90 minute IPAs. Rate Beer gave this one a 92 out of 100. Whoa, I was looking at the wrong one. Beer Advocate users gave it a B, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it a C+.
Which is kind of surprising.
I'm pouring mine into a snifter.
I've got mine.
You guys have
mine,
tulips.
Yeah, mine's in a tulip. So mine's right off the top, I'm getting like a
similar to a tulip.
About a finger and a half to a finger of kind of a dark head.
Yeah. It is. It's on the tanner, darker side.
I've got basically no head. I mean, it's real fizzy. It fizzes up real quick and then it dissipates immediately.
Yeah, I've still got, right. You know, I poured mine a little bit ago and I've still got about a half a finger there. And on the color, I'm getting an amber, definitely an amber color, kind of reddish hues.
Yeah, reddish amber.
Definitely.
A little bubbly. Definitely. Clear. Really clear.
Yeah.
it's sweet.
What about
right
on
the nose? It's sweet. It's got a, you know, I mean, I can smell raisins and sweet malt.
Yeah.
And caramelized.
Yeah. Definitely some
raisins or something.
Definitely.
It's
like a
little alcohol,
like a figgy kind of smell.
Yeah,
figgy. I said figgy.
8%. Even some real malty too. Real malty characters. Kind of a deep, thick maltiness.
Ooh.
Almost a roasted, kind of roasted roastiness. I want to say.
We haven't used that in a while. Yeah.
It's a sweet roasted roastiness.
Dude, I have zero head on this thing.
Yeah, my head's just about gone. And the lacing is...
mine's still hanging on.
Not what I expected. It's not much lacing, actually, for me.
A fizzy mouthfeel.
Yeah.
On a dry...
I'm getting that roasted roastiness that we were talking about, though.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's interesting. It's got sort of a roasted roastiness with the sweet...
Yeah,
even though grapes. It's brewed with the green raisins, I'm not getting much raisin flavor. It's there, but it's just barely.
Yeah, it's kind of complex. I think there's stuff going on where it's going to be hard to pinpoint certain things with this beer. And I think the head probably dissipated so quick, probably because the high alcohol content.
Yeah, there's a lot of alcohol in the flavor, kind of suck in some air in your mouth and you can kind of get that alcohol. Real bitter on the sides of the tongue, kind of a dry bitterness, almost like a grape skin kind of bitter.
I'm not getting much bitterness, actually.
I get it in the end. I get the bitterness at the end. Yeah. On the tongue.
That's what it sounds like. That was like a personal issue there.
Sorry.
I always get the bitterness in the end.
Oh, we're supposed to be drinking this stuff? Sorry.
Well, that's very warm.
Yeah. There's some alcohol warming going on. Not as much as I expected, though, for 8%.
Right.
No, it's nice, though. It feels kind of like a... like a brandy almost, kind of like a sweet sipping alcohol.
Yeah.
As opposed to a strong, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
The carbonation on it is really, yeah. I know it sounds weird, but I want to say it's like really even on the tongue, you know, like it just seems like it's perfect, really.
I don't know if mine might have a little too much carbonation in it or something, because it's like I pour it and it just fizzes up really quick, kind of like a soda.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really no head that lingers afterwards at all.
I'm not seeing much carbonation in it, but I'm definitely tasting it, and it's not like a real heavy carbonation. It's a very
It's like tight on the tongue. Like, yeah, it's really kind of tight.
Carbonation. Exactly.
The tiniest of little carbonated bubbles.
Mm.
Bubbles. I said bubbles.
Definitely, it's pretty interesting. I don't think I'm getting as much as you guys are. I don't know. Hopefully, once again, I didn't get a bad.
I bet this sound like you got a bad one.
I bet this would change when it warms up for sure. I think I would probably enjoy it more as it warms up. Because I think those other flavors, the fruits and the malts, I think would be more apparent.
Yeah, it seems like the serving suggestion on this might actually be a little cold. With these type of beers, I don't understand why sometimes they do say to have it that cold, because these seem to be pretty complex and deep in character, and that you would want it a little bit warmer.
Yeah, why just would you so want to mask some of those flavors by serving it too cold?
Mine's not too cold. It's probably 55 right now, I guess.
Mine's pretty cold. I mean, it was straight out of the fridge, but it's been in the fridge.
I don't mind it, though. I think the coldness brings out the crispness in the beer, too. I mean, when you talk about the...
Yeah.
Toby, you were kind of talking about the bitterness of the sort of like a cherry skin or a raisin skin. I think I think that's enhanced by having it slightly colder.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any food pairings with this one? Oh, you know, I'm getting some kind of spice in there, too, now that it's warming up.
I would actually pair this with some Asian food. I don't know. I think some of the suggestions, I think on the website they suggest some gamey stuff, like duck or something like that. But, yeah, I guess so. Something maybe kind of fatty and maybe because the carbonation, the heavy kind of carbonation would help cut through some fatty stuff, maybe some fatty cheeses or something like that, it might go pretty well with.
Mm.
I was actually thinking more along the lines of like a ribeye steak. Not heavily seasoned, but just a straightforward steak, I think, would be really good with this.
Yeah. I was thinking Asian food. Nothing spicy, just kind of some plain old chow mein.
What about you, Mike?
Well, I'm not a shellfish guy, but I think mussels would probably be a good pairing with this.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, if I'm going to eat, like, I think a rack of lamb, I think just a darker, tender roasted meat would be good with this.
A lamb would be really good, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Nice. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up for the Dogfish Head raison d'etre. Stay tuned to the end of the show for our pint ratings. Yeah. See what we thought about it. Final thoughts during the last call.
Talk about some hot topics then.
Hot topics.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
And we're back.
Hop
Topics. This is the Hop Topics portion of the podcast where we talk about news, what's going on in the craft beer world in America. Starting with Chris in the middle of the country. What you got?
Well, my hop topic for this week comes from beernews.org, and it talks about some new beers coming out from New Belgium. They have their Transatlantic Creek. And if anybody's curious about what a creek is, Why don't we have the
like water? It's small, kind of smaller than a river.
This would be K-R-I-E-K. Oh.
Hey,
and I think for further explanation, maybe we'll beer jargon guy. What's a creek?
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is creek. Creek is a style of Belgian beer fermented with rare Belgian sour cherries. The name is derived from the Flemish word for this type of cherry, creek. Traditionally, Skarbek-type cherries have become more difficult to find. Some brewers have replaced these, partially or completely, with other varieties of sour cherries, sometimes coming from other countries. More recently, some lambic brewers have added sugar to the final product of their fruit beer in order to make them less intense and more approachable to a wider audience. They also use cherry juice rather than whole cherries and are matured for much shorter periods.
So, thank you very much, Mr. Beer Jargon Guy.
Nice. You're so nice.
I know. So, the New Belgium Transatlantic...
He's so smart, that Beer Jargon Guy. He knows everything.
Info?
I don't know.
The Transatlantic Creek is a...
lives in a library in Britain somewhere.
What New Belgium site says, it's a spontaneously fermented lambic ale... made with Polish cherries.
How many Polish cherries does it take to make a lambic?
God.
Nice. The beer
we don't
is
have
it, is
any
it...
listeners in Poland, do we?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
The beer is a partnership beer, and that we've seen lots of breweries doing this lately where they're partnering with other breweries to create these sort of blends. This is a partnership with Brewerij Boon, which is a Belgian beer company. And basically what it is the Belgian company made this creek that is a, like I said, a lambic ale made with Polish cherries, and then it's fermented in oak barrels and aged for 2 years. Mm. And then they shipped it across the Atlantic, where you get the transatlantic part of it, New Belgium, where New Belgium created a sort of a full-bodied golden lager to sort of round out the beer. So they blended it with a lager, which would sort of lighten it up. It sounds weird. It sounds like these two things just shouldn't go together, but. I mean, I'd definitely be curious to try it. It sounds interesting, and I have...
You never know. It could be like the next best thing to peanut butter and chocolate. You never know.
Yeah. I have faith in New Belgium. I've liked most of their stuff. If people don't know who New Belgium is, Fat Tire is a perfect example of their flagship beer.
They are Fat Tire.
And where are they from? Yeah.
They are from Colorado. I forget exactly.
Collins.
I want to say Fort Collins.
Yeah, is it
or
Fort
something?
Collins?
Yeah, Fort Collins.
Let me guess, Toby.
Been there.
No more been there.
So they got a cool tasting room. I think it's free. You get like 4 free tastes or something like that. It's crazy. At least it was a couple years ago.
Cool. So that is my hop topic for the week. Mike, what you got?
Oh, well, see me being here in the Boston area... in the news, all we've heard about is how President Obama called the Cambridge Police Department stupid, or they acted stupidly.
Mm.
So I figure I got to do a news article on something related to it, so I chose this. What beer should President Obama, with Harvard professor Henry Gates and Cambridge cop James Crowley... Well, that doesn't make sense. What beer should he serve? Because he invited them over... for a beer at the White House, and the discussion of this particular article is what beer should they serve? And this is from NY Daily News.
Awesome.
And that's nydailynews.com. And they mention a few. Sam Adams Boston Lager. It's the hometown brew for Gates and Crowley. Sam Adams is served at the Harvard Faculty Club and the Boston Cop Bar, J.J.
Nice.
Foley's.
Nice.
And they go on to mention Guinness and Goose Island and Pabst Blue Ribbon, strangely enough. They didn't want to pick Budweiser because it's no longer an American company, so they figure PBR is the next best all-American beer, which, of course, we here on the Beer Coaster podcast don't agree with.
It's funny because they also say they can't drink Coors or Miller because they're both owned by staunch Republicans.
Staunch Republicans, yes. Yeah. So I wanted to weigh in on this, and I wanted to pick...
What about the redneck lager?
Yeah, there you go.
Badass redneck lager, yeah.
I'm betting those are Republicans as well. No offense to our Republican listeners.
No, not at all.
That's not what I meant.
My pick for this I thought would be good was Capital City Brewing, because they're out of D.C. and Obama can show them what craft beer's like, you know, in Washington, D.C. And the brewery is located on Massachusetts Avenue, which makes total sense.
Yep. You're putting it together, Mike. That's putting it together.
I'm linking up the puzzle.
You need to go talk to Mr. Obama.
Yeah, I need to go talk to him. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Give him a call. I think he's listed.
Maybe he'll invite me over for a beer. Or he'll say, the Beer Coaster podcast acted stupidly in their choice of beers. I would never pick Capital City Brewing.
Or we'll have some Secret Service show up at our door.
Yeah.
Confiscating all of our recording equipment.
Oh, please, no.
But not the beer. Not the beer.
Not the beer. Awesome.
All right, that's it for me. So I don't know if you guys had any particular choices of beer that the president should serve to these guys.
I think the Capital Brewing one sounds great. Or yeah, Arrogant Bastard, since they all seem to follow that line.
That'd be a good one, too. Good choice.
Nice.
All right, Toby,
well,
what do you got?
Speaking of Arrogant Bastard, my little hop topic out here in the West Side.
Speaking of Arrogant Bastard, here's Toby. Just kidding.
Listen, buddy. Stone Brewing Company has teamed up with Maui Brewing Company and a home brewer.
Oh, I wanted to mention
come
that.
Up with
last
with
go ahead.
It's their part of their collaboration series where they team up with another brewer, a couple of different brewing companies sometimes, and a home brewer. This is their they got together with the 2009 American Homebrewers Association Rally Homebrew Competition, and the guy who won was Ken Schmidt.
Schmitty.
So with his recipe, the Aloha Plenty was the name of the beer that they got together and collaborated to make, and actually it is made with Kona coffee, toasted coconut, and macadamia nuts. It's a robust porter.
I'm sold.
And absolutely. Chris, you knew something about the collaboration series, because this is kind of new to me, even though, you know, I'm a huge fan of Stone, and this Aloha Plenty sounds really, really good, and I can't wait to try it.
Well, they've done a few of these, and like I was saying in my hop topic, you know, it seems like a lot of breweries are starting to do this now, where they're starting to collaborate with other, which is great, a great thing mm-hmm. about the craft beer industry. But Stone has done a few. I tried one last year from, I think it was Stone, Jolly Pumpkin, and I want to mm-hmm. say Nogni.
Something Nog. Yeah,
Jolly I think Pumpkin, it was Nogni.
Something Nog.
Yeah. And they did a collaboration. I don't even remember what the collaboration was exactly, but I remember it being really good. And they've done a few of these. So, and I'm sure they're not stopping anytime soon. And I just think it's awesome. It's a great concept to, you know,
Is Calibalique a blend, or is that just their take? No, it's their take. Okay. They've done the collaborations.
Because Calibalique is a regular beer from them now. They actually bottle it on a regular basis, where all these other ones are just special releases. Which is another thing I really like about the craft beer industry is all of these breweries do that. They'll do these little special releases every once in a while, and they'll be like, well, this tasted kind of good. Let's just bottle this and throw it out there for a month or two.
Yeah. And they can do it.
Dude, hearing stuff from and finding certain Stone, or hearing from friends in California, whatever, they talk about finding certain Stone beers on cask that are a different take on their actual beers that they've been brewing for years, and then all of a sudden they'll have like a 2-year-old batch of that same beer that they've been brewing in some sort of oak barrels or something like that, and then all of a sudden now you can find it on tap.
I don't know. They'll blend it with something, you know, different flavor like vanilla or
we actually have some chili backwash peppers about that
or cherries or something like that. Good stuff.
So this Aloha Plenty, they're actually going to give it the full treatment. They're going to not only have it brewed at the brewery and on draft, but you can find it nationwide. They're going to try for the whole nationwide distribution. So look for it. The Aloha Plenty by Stone and Maui Brewing Company and home brewer Ken Schmidt.
Hell yeah. I'll be looking for that.
Awesome. Now I'm thirsty.
All right then.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
And for my hop topic this week, I am doing Abita's Purple Haze.
A Purple Haze!
This is a beer brewed by Abita Brewing out of Abita Springs, Louisiana. The website is www.abita.com.
This is
an American-style wheat beer. Brewed with raspberries. The ABV is a 4.2, so it's a relatively low alcohol content. IBUs 13, so it's not much hop to it either. The ingredients, Purple Haze is a crisp American-style wheat beer with raspberry puree added after filtration.
Chris is drinking a chick beer.
So there may be... Yeah, we all are this week.
Leave it to it's the better Louisiana than the
beer I had planned on getting.
Leave it to the Louisiana guys to add puree.
Yeah. So apparently there's going to be a little bit of raspberry pulp in the bottle, even though I don't really see any. It says the raspberries provide provide the lager. What? With a subtle purple coloration. Fruity aroma, blah, 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 blah. Interesting note, the Abita Brewing Company was founded in Abita Springs, Chris, Louisiana like in 1986. Care. I do care.
You're going to get a letter from Abita Beer saying, what the...
Well, I don't want to sit here and tell them what they're telling me it tastes like. I'd rather just explain what it tastes like.
Yeah. That was the blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah. The Abita Brewing Company was founded in Abita Springs, Louisiana, as I said, in 1986, and is the first and largest craft brewer in the Southeast. Wow. Abita is the 30th largest commercial brewer by production volume in the nation, and the 19th largest craft brewer in the United States. Distributed to 40 states. That. What's that?
We're number 19! Woohoo!
Considering there's like 1,400 breweries, I mean, considering there's like 1,400 breweries, 19 is pretty pretty good.
That's pretty good, Mike. Chill.
Sure. But you know what? There's like 18 others that are a hell of a lot better. Take that, Abita.
We'll see how big the distribution is for your beer in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Sales for the company should exceed 85,000 barrels this year, which is quite a bit. So, the ratings for this beer. Rate Beer has a 16 out of 100.
Damn.
So I don't really like it.
I think that's the lowest. That's the record lowest on our show.
Is it?
I think the lowest before
that. Oh, no, mine was the lowest. Because they didn't even have a percentage last week. Oh, yeah. People didn't even bother weighing in on this beer.
Zero.
The Beer Advocate users gave it a C+. And see, this is where the really interesting differences come into play from Beer Advocate and Rate Beer. Rate Beer gave it a 16 out of 100. Beer Advocate, the Alston Brothers, actually rated it a B+. Mm. So, you know, a little bit better from the Beer Advocate guys. So, I guess with that, I'm going to go ahead and crack it open.
Sounds like they like some fruity beers.
Fantastic idea.
I thought so.
That's good. What kind of glass are you using there?
I'm using an English pint glass this week.
prefer the English would turn their nose up at a purple beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm getting purple. Like a two fingers worth of head. It's golden.
Two Barney Rubble fingers, maybe.
Yeah. It looks a lot like a wheat beer would. It's, you know, that golden in color. There's no purple in it, like I was expecting there to be. I thought there would be some sort of purple haze, but I guess not. It's got a
must
nice
have been
frothy.
What the brewer was on while he was brewing it.
Yeah. It's a nice frothy
it was all in his brain.
Frothy root beer float type head.
That sounds good.
Whoa.
We should review that sometime.
With on the nose, I get the raspberries right off the bat. Now, I have to preface this review by saying I'm not a big fan of raspberries, so that may cloud my judgment slightly.
You don't like raspberries? Who doesn't like raspberries?
Crazy. Me? So I definitely get the raspberry right off the bat, definitely.
Right off the bat, definitely. Definitely right
what
off the bat.
What about the snozzberries?
Snozzberries?
And a little bit of
what
green
on
in this.
Snozzberry.
We should ask the beer jargon guy the beer jargon word could be snozzberries.
Snozzberry, we'll try that.
On the taste, it's a very crisp, really bright raspberry taste right off the bat. What's so funny?
I just don't know what bat we're speaking about.
Yeah.
Baseball bat.
I'm not a big fan. You know, we've talked about this before. I'm not a big fan of lagers, so it has that kind of metallic lager taste mixed in with the raspberry, so there's not a whole lot of stuff that I'm liking in this beer.
What about the body? Does it have good mouthfeel and good
dead
body?
Sexy.
Like I said, it's got a crisp mouthfeel, slightly dry, which is surprising with the amount of sweetness in it. I would expect it to be a little oily, but it's not. It's pretty dry.
Is it thin? Is it medium?
I will say it doesn't taste artificial. It tastes like they actually use real raspberries as opposed to like an artificial raspberry flavoring. So I guess that's a good thing. So I think if you like raspberries, you may like this beer. It's pretty carbonated. It's not a very full, like I said, it's crisp, it's light, it's not very full. It's not bad.
Good summertime beer, sounds like.
Mm-hmm. This would be a very good summertime beer. If I was gonna pair this with something, I think a really creamy cheese would be really nice with this.
Creamy cheese? Like cream cheese?
No, not like a cream cheese, but more like maybe a brie, something not too pungent, yeah. Something creamy and light and not overpowering, I think would be really good with this. So, yeah, that's mine. It's better than I expected it to be, because knowing that I don't like raspberries, it's enjoyable. So,
Chris has been converted.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. How about you, Mike? You want a drink?
I'm thirsty.
Okay.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay, my turn to drink some beer.
Okay.
My beer this week is Thomas Hooker Watermelon Ale.
Oh, sorry.
What kind of beer was it?
It's Thomas Hooker Watermelon Ale. The brewery is Thomas Hooker Brewing Company. The website is hookerbeer.com. Thomas Hooker Brewing Company, located in Bloomfield, Connecticut, was founded in 1997 and proudly named after the founder of Hartford, Connecticut. The style says is American Blonde, which I want to talk a little bit about because they changed the label, the American Blonde Ale, which it doesn't say in the label. It doesn't say that on the label. The blonde that used to be on the label is gone. And it used to be called More Than a Mouthful Watermelon Ale. And now it just says that.
It still shows up that way on the website. Like the label on the website still shows the girl who is.
But I don't know. Maybe I could be
well
wrong.
Endowed.
This may be the old label as opposed to the new label, but I'm not sure. Interesting note. Well, first of all, the ABV on this beer is 4.5. The interesting note about this beer is it was $10 for the 6-pack.
Wow.
Rate Beer rates this 24 out of 100.
Those are Dogfish Head prices.
I know. Beer Advocate users rate this a C+. And the Ahlstrom brothers, once again, have not weighed in on this beer.
They don't like open it.
I'm very curious about this one because watermelon sounds very interesting for a beer.
As soon as I open the bottle, I smell watermelon. As soon as I crack it open, you can smell watermelon.
Now, is it that Jolly Rancher watermelon?
Not at all.
Or is it
it's like a
closer
real,
to the actual fruit?
Real watermelon.
I had a Jolly Rancher watermelon Slurpee last week. And it tasted just like a Jolly Rancher.
There's a tiny bit of that Jolly Rancher-ish smell to it now that I got it all poured in the glass here in the head. It has a sweet watermelon smell. And it's, I would say, a very light, light copper color. It's got a, I would say, two fingers ahead, and it's not dissipating too quickly, which is nice. Not much lacing going on. What's that?
Never mind.
All right. There is kind of.
I was
going to
say, so you got
a nice
two fingers on that hooker.
We're going to have to rate this podcast now.
Oh, that was.
This podcast rated MA for mature audience, mature audiences only. Although you should be 21 if you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's got a
this
watermelon.
My identification, please.
And maybe a slight caramel malt. But I'm getting a lot of watermelon. And I'm going to take a sip.
Something interesting so far about the beers that we've tried, it seems that there's very little hop character to any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you figure, you know, your hops bring out your citrus. And you would think that they would want that when they're trying to do a fruit beer.
May conflict guess, too maybe, much, though.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
if
possible,
the citrusy
yeah.
being...
Because I don't know how citrus would
conflicting
blend
with, the berries,
with some fruits. Yeah,
kind of
yeah fruits, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is, amazingly enough, in the taste...
Watermelon?
A tiny little bit of... Oh, yeah, watermelon. It tastes like it smells, as far as that's concerned. But there is a slight grassy hoppiness to it, which I'm very surprised. All the smells and the flavor, they're very light. They're delicate, I guess maybe is a better word.
We like delicate fruits.
It's a tiny bit of sweetness. There's kind of like a little bit of that candied without being too sicky sweet. It's really light and crisp as far as the mouthfeel goes. Sweet, malty, sugary.
This one sounds like a very, very good summer beer.
This is a good summer beer. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, to sum it up, it's definitely crisp and refreshing for summer. If you're a girl who doesn't like beer.
Can you have a seed spitting contest with this one or no?
Not quite. It doesn't, you know, that'd be actually nice if it had kind of a real richer watermelon, chewy kind of feel with a bunch of seeds on the bottom. But like I said, it's a really refreshing beer. It'd be good for you know, people who don't like beer so much. Because if this considered a blonde, I don't know. But it's refreshing. And it's similar to, I would say, like a quality alternative beverage without the sicky sweetness. And I would definitely choose this over any one of those alternative beverages. And if I were going to...
Alternative?
Yeah. If I'm going to pair this, it's bad because I don't particularly eat salad, but a summer salad seems like it would go good with this with like fruits and nuts. But if I were to pair something that I would eat with it, maybe a grilled tuna, very light grilled tuna would be good.
Nice.
Hmm. And that's and definitely serve this cold. This needs to be a cold, crisp summer beer. It doesn't really do it any justice for this warming up. You're not getting any extra flavor in here. Ice cold, crisp summer beer.
I'm very curious about this one, Mike. You might have to send me some.
I could do
it. I want to try it too.
Thomas Hooker Watermelon Ale. Thank you.
What I want to try is a Jolly Rancher Watermelon Slurpee.
How about you just try your beer?
Okay.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, so
West
this is
Coast.
Toby out on the west side. West Coast. And I'm going back to Lost Coast Brewing Company. I did them back in the Brown issue, which was very nice. I'm doing the Raspberry Brown from Lost Coast Brewing Company.
Raspberries.
Which actually, I'm kind of cheating on this. I didn't know this ahead of time before I got it, but it's actually the Downtown Brown infused with some raspberries.
That's okay.
And I didn't know about it until after I brought it home.
Sneaky man.
So, Lost Coast is out of Eureka, California. They've been brewing since 1986.
Eureka, California!
Their website is www.lostcoast.com. This is an American brown ale. ABV is 8%, and it has 25 IBUs. You should cellar this at 40 to 45 degrees and serve it at 45 to 50 degrees. You can find them in the 22-ounce bombers on draft, and it's available year-round. And the ingredients, it has an essence of ripe red raspberries made with malted barley, chocolate and caramel malts, hops, and a natural raspberry flavor. So it's weird. They say that there's an essence of ripe red raspberries, and there's natural raspberry flavor.
Interesting.
So I don't know if they're actually putting actual raspberries in this beer, but actually.
I think there's definitely raspberries in this beer, but definitely.
Interesting note about Lost Coast is I talked to them before about how it's two female brewers. The two brewmasters are women, which was cool. They're noted as the 46th largest brewery in the U.S. Barbara Groom, she was a pharmacist, and Wendy Pound was a family counselor. They teamed up and started brewing. And if you're a collector,
like a perfect
here's
combination.
An interesting thing.
Yeah, a pharmacist.
A family counselor and a pharmacist. A cool thing that they do through their website is if you're a collector of bottle caps or coasters, which I am, or labels, beer labels, that you can actually go to their website and they'll mail you coasters and bottle caps and stuff and their labels.
Nice. Oh, cool. I'm going to do that.
Their flagship beer is the Alley Cat Amber or the Downtown Brown. Those two are probably the ones you can find most available. Rate Beer gave this a 68 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B, and the Ahlstrom Brothers have not rated it. Now, after pouring it, man, I'm about 8 or 9 inches away from the glass, and I'm just getting lots of raspberry. Whoa. It actually smells like real raspberries, though. You're getting the kind of bitter, sweet...
Really tart.
Raspberry.
Sour.
Very tart, exactly. Mm. I started off with about a finger and a half of head. Now I'm down to about a half a finger of head. It's actually very dark. Kind
now
of a dark
a half
red.
A finger. Now you're down to nothing.
No. Still
it's
at
the
a,
head
still
countdown.
A finger.
It's the raspberry brown countdown.
I poured this into a pint glass. And yeah, it's real dark. It's really, I can see through it, so it's clear. So it's really bubbly, really carbonated. And it's kind of a dark red, maroonish kind of color. And I'm, you know, waving it around my face, looking at the color and stuff. It's just raspberry, raspberry, raspberry. And, you know, I like raspberries.
Who doesn't like raspberries? Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much all I smell when I take a sniff. I'm trying to find something else, maybe a little bit of maltiness in there, but it's mostly just all just raspberries. Like if I had some raspberry syrup, if I was at the, you know, IHOP or something and they had raspberry syrup sitting there and I poured it on my pancakes, this is what I would smell. Maybe I'm already pairing this with something. I don't know.
Because nothing says breakfast like a raspberry brown.
Beer and pancakes, what could be better?
That's right.
Not a whole lot of mouthfeel. Very thin. Very thin. You can see carbonation, but I don't feel it. You know, there's not a whole lot of carbonation on the tongue. It's a little dry, a little bitter. Very sweet. Very raspberry.
Is it that kind of sick, sickly syrupy sweet, or just a
no? Not like a really, because it's real. It's very light and clean, and kind of thin. You could probably chug this beer. It's that drinkable.
I think that so we found the summer thick beers in a different show altogether.
Yeah,
like these should have been the summer beers show right here.
That should it's be a new category for you have drinkability and you have it should be chuggable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rate this beer 3 chuggables.
Or give it some chuggability points.
Yes, chuggability. It's all about chuggability.
Oh.
Yeah, it there's a little bit of astringent kind of bitterness on the tip of the tongue. It's not real sicky sweet syrupy like Mike always uses the whole sicky sweet thing. I like that. It's not that at all. It's just very, yes, it's very clean, astringent, and sweet at the same time.
I think if you're going to trademark
that. Not a whole lot of body.
It's probably my grandmother, I think, who trademarked that sicky sweet.
If I let this warm up, it might bring a little bit of the maltiness out in it. But for now, I'm not getting a whole lot of maltiness in it. So, you know, if you compare it to, say, the Downtown Brown, which is, this is, a, you know, they took the Downtown Brown and added raspberries to it. It's not, doesn't have the body and the maltiness that the Downtown Brown has, but a little bit, but not a whole lot. It's got some good lacing, decent lacing at least. The head retention is good. But as far as pairing this with something, I don't know.
Big chocolate cake.
Raspberry
something like maybe a cheesecake, a creamy, not too creamy cheesecake, but you know, kind of like a store bought cheesecake with the graham cracker crust. You know, nothing too heavy.
Is it sweet enough to be a dessert type beer?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, not a dessert. It's not a sipping dessert beer, but if you paired this with something that was kind of creamy and like a cheesecake, I think this would go pretty well. You know, maybe a raspberry cheesecake. This might actually bring out even more raspberry in the beer.
So
you know, a cheesecake with raspberry topping.
So you have a decent dinner, you know what I mean? And you're running late, but you still want dessert. You scarf down a cheesecake and chug one of these, right?
Exactly.
Nice. We know how to do it here on Beer Coasters.
Oh, another thing about this 22-ounce bomber that I got, there's actually a bottle date on the side of the bottle, but there's nothing, there's no niches in it. There's no tick marks.
It's fresh forever.
So I guess so.
Sweet.
The label's kind of beat up, so I don't know how long it's been sitting in the cooler at this liquor store, but anyway. Lost Coast Brewing Company, Raspberry Brown. That's it for me out here in the West Side. Peace.
Izumi says, just settling down to a good zombie movie. Zombies, cold beer, and pizza. What more could a man want?
It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat. Treat of the week, yeah.
Backwash.
Okay, people. This is the Backwash segment where we answer emails. All the, you know, our email inbox is just overflowing with nobody sending us stuff.
Question.
So
it's overflowing with nothingness.
It's the nothing. It's coming.
But this is where we would where we answer emails, or we have the hotline that people can call in and leave a voicemail, which this week we did. We got one from Mr. Summers, so we're going to check it out right here.
What's up, dudes of Beer Coasters? This is Mr. Summers from Los Angeles. And it was a couple weeks ago, I picked up a bottle of Jubilation 12, which is from Hebrew Brewing. That's their 12th anniversary. It's made with 12 malts, 12 hops, and 12% alcohol. Coincidence? I don't think so. Anyways, this beer is kind of like a stout, very complex, tons of flavors from cocoa to coffee to caramel to you name it. It was delicious, and you should try it.
So that was pretty cool. He gave us a recommendation of a beer he tried. That's awesome. You know, if anybody out there wants to do that, give us a call. Let us know.
Yeah.
Even if you have a favorite beer bar, or you found a cool place to grab a nice pint of craft beer. Well, I think.
Speaking
Mr.
of which,
Summers,
I think
had another one.
Might be.
Yeah, I think he's calling right now.
Hey guys, Mr. Summers here again. Also wanted to say, was down at Blue Palms Brew House, which, if you don't know, is a really great beer bar. I mean, they're a regular bar, but they specialize in beer. They're down in Hollywood. Generally, they have about 25 beers on tap, all microbrew, and they almost always have at least one cask beer. Was down there, and they had a Stone Pale Ale brewed with coriander on cask. And I gotta say, it was a very unique flavor, very low carbonation. It was almost room temperature. Honestly, I would have never thought it was Stone's Pale Ale. It tasted so different. It was not even funny. The coriander was definitely there. It was really, really good. Tasted extremely fresh. I'd highly recommend anybody try it if you're in the LA area, because that cask is not going to last.
So there you go.
That was so weird.
Check it out. Next time you're in Los Angeles.
Ears must have been ringing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
So that's
Summers.
It. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Summers, for letting us know. That's cool. And so next time you're in Los Angeles, check it out. And
Los Angeles. Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
I think that's in Southern California, right?
Yeah, Los Angeles, so California.
All right, I think it's time for last call.
Sweet.
Last call!
All right, everybody, last call!
If you didn't get your orders in, too late. You suck.
Late.
This is the last call. It's where we wrap it up for the podcast. Sorry to see you go. I know that's what you're thinking. Oh, don't go now. We're having so much fun talking about fruit beers. And
we'll tune
talking
in next
trash
week,
about San Francisco for some reason.
We ain't talking trash about San Francisco. What are you talking about?
San Francisco.
I know. I love San Francisco.
Yes.
First off, let's start with our pint ratings, because everybody is just sitting there chomping at the horse blanket, waiting for us to tell us our ratings. Tell everybody our ratings on our beers that we drank today.
Yes.
So first off, I'd like to throw it to Chris. Give us your pint ratings.
Alrighty. For the Dogfish Head Raison d'Etre, I am going to give it 4 pints out of 5.
How many?
4. I really enjoyed this beer. I think it's an interesting take on a Belgian strong ale. It's not super alcoholy, but it's there. It's got some good sweetness, and overall, I thought it was a good a good beer. For my tasting flight, the Abita Purple Haze, I am going to give it a... This was a tough one for me because of the fact that I'm not a big fan of raspberries. It's hard for me to be completely objective. I'm going to give it 3 pints because I feel that if I liked raspberries, it would be a very good beer because it's light, it's crisp, it's not syrupy sweet or sickly sweet, as Mike likes to say. So
sicky sweet.
I think 3 pints out of 5.
Sicky sweet, not sorry. Sickly, sicky.
Okay. Sorry. I'm going to get that down.
You're
going to
quote
trademark.
Me? Get it right, right, sir.
So, you know, it's a refreshing beer, you know, if you like raspberries. So I'm going to give it 3 pints. And, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Mike, how about you, Mike? On yours?
Let's see. Dogfish Head. 3.5. I wanted to give it a 4. I really did. But it really feels like a brown ale to me. It does not seem like a Belgian strong ale like they list it or what it's seems to be in that category. I've had Belgian strong ales. I don't taste anything like this Dogfish Head. So in that case, it kind of loses a 0.5 point. I did like it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But I just don't feel like within... It doesn't seem like it's in the right category. I gave it 3.5. Which isn't bad. And on the Thomas Hooker's Watermelon Ale, I gave it a 2.
Whoa.
It is crisp and refreshing, but it's not... It's not a summer blonde or a blonde ale to me. It seemed, like I said, it's like one of those alternative beverages, but it doesn't have the sicky sweetness. And I would choose that over these alternative beverages, but in general, it's just not my type of beer. I do think that girls would love this beer, and if girls are angry with me saying that, then they can give me some backwash. But, it's a crisp, refreshing beer, but it's just not a, you know, American blonde ale. So that's why I give it 2. Thank you.
Just to make it clear, we don't all feel that only girls would like certain beers, because I think that comes across as a little out of whack. I mean, out of the...
A little
the,
chauvinistic? You know, well, if you think we're a little chauvinistic, then let us know.
Out of our, you know, our honorary beer coasters, you know, one of our most intelligent, most well-spoken people on beer is probably... Gina, and she happens to be a girl. So I wouldn't say that, you know, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable saying that about only girls are going to like this beer. Because girls
don't
like this beer.
I'm not saying only girls.
Well, it's weird if because... You don't,
the thing is if you're not really into craft beer, and I really don't feel like this is an American blonde ale. And if that's what they have the balls to call it, then I'm going to say, you know what, well, then... It's a really low-rated American blonde, in my opinion.
Toby, okay. Where are you at with yours?
Well, with my my review of the Raison d'Etre by Dogfish Head, I wasn't too happy with it. I'm going to go with a 2.5 out of 5. For some reason, it didn't sit right with me. I don't know if I would go back to it. I know I love Dogfish Head so far from the beers that I've had of theirs. I think that... everything I've had up until this point has been top-notch. This is probably one of the lower ones of theirs that I've had. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just to me, it was just too alcohol-y for me or what. I felt a lot of the alcohol. To me, it didn't have a whole lot of good balance to it. I'd like to try it again at a different temperature. I might have had it a little too warm this time. But... I don't know. We'll see. I'll go back to it, but for now, I'm gonna give it a 2.5. For the raspberry brown from Lost Coast, I'm gonna go with a 3.5. Pretty drinkable. I don't get a whole lot of the downtown brown from it, but it's very raspberry. It's pretty light. It's very chuggable. You know, you can pound one of them and not worry about it being too overwhelming. It's decent. It's maybe too much raspberry for a beer. I'd like a little bit more, maybe some more maltiness to it, or a little bit of caramelized sugar in there also. But that's it for my ratings. And you guys have any individual shout outs, websites we mentioned today?
I just wanted to, you know, give the website again for Abita, www.abita.com for Abita Brewing.
Nice.
My website for Thomas Hooker is hookerbeer.com.
And also Lost Coast Brewing Company, that's lostcoast.com. And if you're interested in that Aloha Plenty that I talked about in my hop topic today with the Maui Brewing Company, you can find it through Stone Brewing. I think it's stonebrew.com is the website. Also, beernews.org has a lot of information on it. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are on Twitter at Beer Coasters Pod. And our individual Twitter accounts, I am Beer Coaster Toby.
I am B Coaster Chris.
And I'm Beer Coaster Mike.
And we have individual email accounts. If you want to email us individually, I'm toby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
I would be chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And oddly enough, I would be mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
You could also friend us on Facebook if you search for Beer Coasters Podcast. You can email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can post comments on the website. If you go to the website, you can see right on there, there's a little comments section for each episode. Or you can leave us at audio backwash. If you go on the website, down at the bottom, you'll see a call me button. You click on it, enter your name, enter your phone number. It rings you and connects the phone call right to our voicemail.
That's what Summers did.
Yeah.
Out of Los Angeles.
And that would be on the website.
And the website is www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You could subscribe in iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters. We're there. I think we're next to like Cake's One Fierce Beer Coaster CD or something like that.
Yep.
But we're there.
That's,
look for us. You'll find us. You can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters. Sometimes earlier, but usually Mondays. And you can see what we're drinking for next week, and you can buy it and sit and drink with us the following week.
Very cool. And don't forget to tell your friends about the Beer Coasters podcast, and tell your friends to tell their friends, and spread the word. Word of mouth is nice. We'd like to thank everybody for listening, taking the time out of their day to sit down and listen to us talk about beer, something that we love.
Love beer.
And support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive. Drink responsibly.
Right.
Yes.
And for comments or suggestions or your favorite beer or bar, you can do like Summers did and then call our hotline and leave us some backwash. Send us an email and just tell us, like, hey, check it out. If you're in Nashville, check out this brewery. Or if you're in, you know, Omaha, check out this brewery. Or, you know, my favorite beer right now is this. You know, spread the word. You let people across the country and around the world know about your favorite beer. It's cool.
And who knows, we may do like a live Beer Coasters podcast somewhere, and we're gonna know what beer bar to go to. So
yeah,
maybe it'll be like Beer Coasters in somewhere Alabama or anywhere Wisconsin. You never know. We need to know the good beer
I've
bars
been there,
to go to.
Anywhere, Wisconsin. Not really.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
Fruit, please.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You do believe me, don't you, Dad?